you in the 06010. Focus. Fantasy. Fantasy Focus.
Welcome to Fantasy Focus. Today's podcast is presented by Geico. You can watch us every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN's Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube feeds, as well as the ESPN app. And you can download Fantasy Focus wherever you get your podcast. Full cast here today. Field, Matthew, Stefania, and Daniel.
Daniel, do me a favor.
Yep.
Can you shoot a note over to our friends at Geico, if you don't mind?
Okay.
And ask them politely, and just tell them it'll be off the record.
Sure.
But just ask them if they were allowed to use the word proudly. Because every day, Field says, you know, the Fantasy Focus is presented by Geico. And I just want to know, could we say proudly?
Proudly presented
by Geico. I don't know if they're proud of us, to be honest. I really don't know the answer to that.
I will email.
My assumption is no, but there might be somebody, you know, just figure out what the adjective is. Begrudgingly presented by Geico. Yeah.
Something needs to go there.
Disappointingly, you know, like contractually,
don't give them any ideas.
Contractually obligated to present to be presented
I bet
by.
They are proudly presenting this podcast.
Maybe
we
I just want
to
find out
on the show. Are you kidding me?
That's
whatever
true.
She touches is gold.
Yeah, you know that. Maybe that's it. Maybe you know today's Fantasy Focus podcast. You know,
25% Stefania.
Stefania Bell is proudly presented by Geico. Matthew Berry begrudgingly presented. By, you know,
no, we begrudgingly is not nearly unkind
right,
enough.
Right,
towards
we were forced to take him.
Yeah,
he was part of the deal.
We negotiated the deal.
We tried
Mike Clay, but they something
right.
got wrong in legalese.
Right. We really like Thursdays.
Yeah.
Thursdays is our day. Geico loves them some Thursdays.
To be fair, it is a great show.
Thursdays
we crush it on
shows.
Thursdays, and the DFS podcast also crushes it. Stefania, the proudest member of our show. Got a lot to get to today, Stefania. And normally we start with injuries from the weekend. We have to begin with injuries for Monday night, as yesterday we got an update on A.J. Brown. And for those that are holding out for Monday Night Miracle, what's the status of both A.J. Brown and Julio Jones?
Well, you're right, Phil, because yesterday we were talking about how they were both off the injury report heading into Monday night. We were feeling very good about the potential to increase A.J. Brown's usage and Julio Jones returning. And then we found out that A.J. Brown was downgraded yesterday to questionable status for tonight due to an illness. So not related to the hamstring, but a late illness. They haven't specified what kind of illness, and it's unclear whether he'll be available. So it could come down to the wire. Now, I talked about utilization before. A.J. Brown, his first game back, coming back from a hamstring injury, played 51 snaps, which was about 80% of the snaps. That was week one. And then last week when he came back, he only played 40 snaps. It was down to 66%. So they were definitely controlling his usage. I would suspect that with Julio returning, they're probably going to do the same thing, or it's not necessarily a set number, but they don't want him on the field all the time.
Okay. And he recently said something to the effect of, I'll be 100% by week 10.
Yeah.
Mike Vrabel, his head coach, maybe because he didn't want AJ to reveal that information, came back and said something to the effect of, I'm not quite sure where he got that timeline, but AJ at the time was good to go. We'll see if he's available tonight. I'll just say this, Matthew, like obviously you have to mitigate expectations a little bit for both of these players, not just because of the health concerns, but also because of the Bills, who are outstanding this year. Number one scoring offense, number one scoring defense.
Correct.
You're almost hoping for junk time for the Titans.
Yeah.
The problem is, though, Derrick Henry is good enough and like keeps games close enough because they, A, run the ball very effectively, and B, running the football runs the clock very fast, that like it's almost harder for them to get into blowouts. It happens on occasion,
yeah,
but it's almost harder to.
Yeah, it happened in Seattle a little bit, but right, I mean like,
no, blowouts like in a bad way.
No,
like,
I
they get blown out.
No,
yeah.
But I understand. I mean, that's Tennessee had a furious comeback against Seattle.
Right, right. Okay, yeah, yeah.
You do understand. But like they were down big for a while, and then, you know, that this kind of furious comeback against Seattle. But for our purposes, meaning fantasy managers that are watching this or listening to this prior to the game tonight, so if you have A.J. Brown, like you've set your lineup, you know, you're pretty much through the week at this point. Is there, if for some reason A.J. Brown is ruled out, what is there an option that you're going to pivot to? You throw A.J. Brown in your IR spot.
Yeah.
Like, there's,
can.
I mean, because there's not, there's no,
know.
Like, I mean,
I
like
know.
Emmanuel Sanders, Cole Beasley, you sort of think about the other side of the ball there. I don't think there's anyone viable on Buffalo that's available in your league.
Yeah. Gabe Davis,
maybe Gabriel Davis. That's a good call. I mean, I was like Nick Westbrook.
Did you guys hear that?
Uh-huh.
I know.
Matthew just said that was a good call.
Props.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Daniel.
Good job, Daniel. I'm so proud of you.
Yeah, guys.
You know they give you a pin to ESPN like every year for every year you've lasted at the company?
Yeah.
Matthew's got the company record. Do you know that?
Yeah.
Most
Stop
pins.
It.
94 most pins. And counting. Yeah.
That's incredible.
Listen, Walt Disney, the actual Walt Disney was my college
close
roommate.
Close personal friend. Yeah, of course.
And, you know, and he just said,
how do you always win the lottery in your fantasy league?
He just said, Walt just said to me, listen, I have the idea for this, like this animation thing that I want to do. He showed me this little picture of a mouse that he drew. And he's like, I am. I'm a company man. And he said, do you want to have a piece of this? I think we're getting into theme parks and that kind of stuff. I was like, no, let me know when you get into sports.
Yeah.
So I turned down the equity there.
Yeah.
And,
just waited.
And yeah, just sort of waited till I could do a podcast.
I don't think there's anything that you can do if you roster AJ Brown tonight. You're not dropping AJ Brown, right? If you can move him to IR, of course, that's the move.
I'm just saying, like, maybe you hope for a touchdown from – you move him to flex, ideally, and, you know, maybe one of the tight ends. Like, Chester Rogers or
– Josh Reynolds.
Right. Nick Westbrook. Ilhani. I think
that was like a couple syllables off, but I'm not going to screw it up myself, so I'll leave it right there.
All right, well, at least I attempted. But I'm just saying, like, Stefania, on a scale of 1 to 10, your expectations that A.J. Brown tries to go at some – is active and plays tonight on some level.
I have no, it would be a random guess. I mean, it's an illness. It's
have
not,
you, have you
it,
seen the show? It's kind of on brand for us.
That's
kind
a
of
brand
on brand
for you.
Oh, God.
I try not to do
that. Savage. Stefania, let's keep
Stefania,
it moving.
Stefania likes to stick with facts.
Yeah. Last thing, really quickly, Phil. This is why, and I know you said this a couple days ago when we were talking about something. This is why you always make sure that your late games are in the flex spot as possible, if possible.
Great call by Daniel.
Always give yourself the most roster flexibility as the schedule goes on. Your Monday night players, your Sunday night players should always be in your flex, 1,000%.
The Cowboys head into a bye, and they are 5-1. They look like one of the best teams in football, Stefania, but their quarterback is dealing with something that happened on literally the last play of the game.
Right. He's dealing with it. Add him to the pile of people dealing with calf injuries right now. He was hopping down the tunnel. There's actually a great picture that Ed Werder posted of him leaning on Zeke to keep his weight off that right leg. Now, the right leg is the same leg that he had the ankle injury on, but not necessarily related. Point is, he has a calf strain. They put him in a walking boot afterwards. He's going to be further evaluated today. I don't think there's a huge sense of alarm just yet. We'll see what happens. I think they're very thankful that the bye is coming up this week. People see a walking boot and they get nervous. I will say this, a walking boot is smart when you have a calf injury because it just elevates your heel. It makes you rock forward when you're walking, so it takes the pressure off your calf. So just a good proactive move by the Cowboys to put him in that. And stay tuned. We'll see what comes next for him.
Because there are so many quarterbacks on a bye this week, Dak Prescott amongst them, Josh Allen will be on a bye this week.
Kirk Cousins, Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers is on a bye this week. There are a lot of names. I did a quarterback section of the waiver wire column. So we'll get into fill-in names for week 7 and beyond if need be. Dak, as Stefania noted, like he's telling us he's going to be fine, but we'll keep an eye on this injury throughout the next few days here. And let me just say this. Remember when we used to debate whether Dak Prescott was worth the extension that the Cowboys would have to give? Like, what a ridiculous waste of time. He is so freaking ridiculously, unbelievably
good. I never
good.
Debated that.
No, I know. I mean, I think hopefully you're on the right side of that
I
argument,
was.
Which you were. But
I was.
Man,
I've been a big Dak fan. Like, I was all in on Dak a year ago. Mm-hmm. You know, of course, then he got hurt. But, like, I've been in on Dak for quite some time here. One thing that is worth noting here in terms of offense, move on. Never mind. I was going to get into a whole thing about quarterbacks and everything like that, but we'll do that tomorrow in our waiver wire section. Yes.
Stefania, the Browns play on Thursday night, and I have no clue is going to be available. Run us through the latest there.
Well, certainly of their top two, we don't know that yet. So Nick Chubb missed this game because of a calf injury. He was questionable. They had been concerned about him all week, and we even talked on Sunday about the question of whether he'd be available for Thursday. It didn't really sound like they were planning to have him on Thursday. Thought maybe the following week would be his most likely opportunity for return. And so they had Kareem Hunt. But even Kevin Stefanski going into yesterday's game said Kareem Hunt was kind of beat up and they didn't want to overwork him. Well, guess what? He worked a lot yesterday, and late in the game, he ends up going down with a calf injury himself, planted his foot while he was turning. He reached for his calf immediately in great pain, had to be carted back to the locker room. Obviously, we'll undergo more testing today, but you know, he was in tears. It was a very sad scene. He got a lot of work yesterday. Kevin Stefanski did say after the game that this was a calf injury and not his Achilles. There was a lot of people speculating out there like, oh, he tore his Achilles. Although I will tell you, he reached up very high on his calf, which not usually consistent with an Achilles. But be that as it may, we need to find out what the severity is. I think Dearness Johnson would be next guy up for them.
Always amazes me when people rush to guess what the injury is on Twitter. And every once in a while, Blind Squirrel finds a nut, right? They're correct. And then Stefania sits there and does what you should do, which is be patient, and then actually nails a diagnosis.
I will say there are a lot of
armchair, like a cottage industry, right?
There's a lot of people judging injuries from their their couch.
That could be career ending. It's like the guy like has a thumbnail. It's like, oh, yeah, could be. He might never return. He like twisted his knee.
I'll say this very clearly. No one loves giving Stefania a hard time more than I do. Queen Stefania, who's about ready to go on a boondoggle, make no mistake about it. But I will tell you this, in all seriousness, as somebody who has worked with her every day for the last 14 years, there's no one in this company, there's no one that I know that works harder than Stefania. And I will tell you that when she reports something, it is because she has the goods. She has incredible sources throughout the NFL, throughout the medical profession, and it is something that she takes very, very seriously. And you notice that, like, when I like to give Stefania a hard time, it is never about the analysis, because that is so rock solid. I can never poke a hole in that. But everything else, I think it's fair game. But yes, Stefania created the job. Honestly, the job didn't exist before Stefania. There's a reason why she is legitimately a Hall of Famer.
Thank you, guys, are making me blush. I will say this. Here's what's useful for people who are interested. Go back and look at the videos after the fact, because then when you have more information, it can often be really helpful to look at the video and put two and two together. But in the meantime, as far as Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb, we are waiting to see what their status is. I would just assume Kareem Hunt not going to play this week. And I think Nick Chubb was very much a question mark. Again, we wait to hear more from the coach.
I would agree with Stefania that if those guys were to miss Thursday, and certainly it doesn't look positive, I agree with her that Dearness Johnson would be the running back you would want. My expectation is that it would be a committee between him and, I don't know if I'm going to pronounce the guy's name right, Dimitric Felton, who has yet to have looks like a nice little player, but like has yet to get an actual rushing attempt. They use him in the passing game. Right. And so Dearness Johnson, who filled in somewhat last year, seems like they trust him a little bit more between the tackles. I think it would be those two guys, obviously, that would split the carries on Thursday night.
Felton was a wide receiver / running back in college. He sort of has that Tavon Austin vibe to him. Like small, jitterbug, change of direction, all that is great. That being said, I think to your point, someone would be more likely to handle, let's say, 10 or 12 rushing attempts on Thursday night. More on Dearness Johnson and the Browns running backs tomorrow, but Stefania, Baker Mayfield also left this game. He came back in and left the game again. What's he dealing with?
Yeah, you know what? You can say what you want about Baker Mayfield, but one thing you cannot question is this guy's toughness. When he went down, if you were watching, he was kicking the ground. I mean, he was in so much pain. It was very obvious is he was in great pain. If you go back and you look at the video, we heard afterward that he did sublux that shoulder again, the one that he had previously injured earlier this season. Now you notice he wears a harness on that side, which is to help provide some support for that shoulder and ideally some restraint so that it will keep it where it's supposed to be. But when you have certain forces that contact that shoulder, you can slip even inside the harness. That's what happened. He went down with his arm outstretched after he fumbled the ball, and he just landed in a way that popped that shoulder out. You saw him go in the medical tent, come out, then he was trying to take snaps. It was basically to see if he could get back in the game, which he ultimately did. So this is one of those things where I think Baker's going to end up having to have a surgery to repair this at the end of the season. This could happen again. Every time it's very painful, but ultimately he can still function as a quarterback. He's going to keep playing.
Obviously you want to see him be okay and get better soon. I think, not to be crass, but for fantasy, I'm not sure it means much, right? You were not starting Baker Mayfield, and you really weren't starting any Browns pass catcher unless you were absolutely forced into a corner, Matthew. No wide receiver has been producing consistently with Jarvis Landry on IR. No tight end has been producing consistently for them. Yeah. So you can basically...
Beckham actually had a decent game yesterday, and obviously a monster game from Donovan Peoples-Jones, but part of it was the Hail Mary.
Right?
Consistently, correct.
Yeah. Nobody has been consistent for that Browns pass catcher group.
Factually correct.
Let's keep running through some injuries here. Stefania and T.Y. Hilton played yesterday after missing the first five games due to a neck injury. Then he left the game after looking pretty good.
Yeah, he did look pretty good, but you know it's tough when you don't play football for a while and your football conditioning, they talk about being in football game shape. No matter how much you train, there's nothing like actually playing in a game. And ultimately, the biggest risk when you come back short of re-injuring the thing you were missing time for is some sort of soft tissue injury. And that's what happened with T.Y. He had a quad injury. They held him out the rest of the game. It's not really clear whether they thought it was so serious that he couldn't play or just, you know, hey, first game back, if you're already feeling something. And T.Y. has had a couple of more significant soft tissue injuries in the last couple of years. Just made sense to hold him out. He did meet with reporters afterward, and he didn't seem overly concerned by it. The fact that he was available, I think, also a good sign. His teammate Paris Campbell also left the game with a foot injury and did not return. Hopefully we'll get some more details on that later.
Okay, we'll keep an eye on both of those injuries for the Colts. I do think T.Y. is still sort of a speculative ad. We'll get to that more tomorrow on the show, even with the injury considerations. This is a bummer, Stefania. It's Kadarius Toney played the opening drive for the Giants and was dominating. He had three catches on the first drive, and then he left.
Yeah, it was like the third catch was one too many. He came in with the ankle injury. We knew that. Their wide receiver core has been banged up from top to bottom, and Kadarius Toney, we'd heard about the ankle a little bit later than what the other receivers were dealing with. But, you know, he seemed to be it wasn't so serious that they were going to hold him out. However, the problem with ankle injuries is it's really easy to tweak it when you are making cuts. And he made a move to try and juke a defender, and all of a sudden that flared up his ankle. And it was interesting to me that that was it. He was done for the rest of the game after that.
Man, the Giants can't have nice things, huh? I mean, it's been years of them not having their core skill players on the field at the same time. A bummer to see. Sterling Shepard has been an absolute target vacuum this year in the three games that he has played. His target share is truly astounding. That's it, though, right now, in terms of Giants pass catchers that you can count on that are actually healthy. We'll dive into the Kenny Galladay latest and Saquon Barkley latest throughout
Sterling
the week.
Sterling Shepard looked healthy yesterday.
That's why I was just talking about
okay.
Him.
Yeah. No, I thought you said Kadarius Toney.
No, we're talking about Kadarius Toney and then Sterling Shepard.
Got it. Yeah. I understand what you're saying. I misheard you then.
Yeah, so Sterling Shepard has been awesome. When he has been healthy, Kadarius Toney's been awesome when he was healthy too. The problem is right now, nobody but Sterling Shepard that you can count on is currently healthy.
Correct.
Damian Harris, Stefania, actually gutted out a pretty impressive effort for the Patriots yesterday, but is he banged up again after the game?
It's not really clear what's going on because remember, he's had it was chest/ribs and clearly was struggling with that and yet came into this game and as you said, gutted it out, but limped off the field late in the game. No specifics yet, but definitely worth monitoring because obviously when he's in there, he's working hard. And if this is a new injury on top of the stuff he's been dealing with, then that's a cause for concern.
We'll monitor it. As I said, gritty effort from him, over 100 rushing yards and a touchdown. One quick note, Stefania, on Saturday, the Broncos changed something to Jerry Jeudy's status/timeline. What can you tell us?
Yeah, Jerry Jeudy, remember he was on IR because of a high ankle sprain. They did designate him for return. As you know, that means he can start practicing with the team, but still not activated to the active roster and expected to play in a game yet. I think that's still going to be a couple of weeks away. This was never a 3-week injury. It was on the order more of 4 to 6. I think that Halloween game weekend is looking like that might be the targeted return for Jeudy.
Yeah, just a good sign because, you know, rather at one point there was a belief, hey, man, this is 8 weeks, maybe this is 12 weeks. Well, now we know it's expected to be sooner than that timeline. As you mentioned, Stefania, the Broncos now have 21 days to activate him from IR. So at some point over the next 2 weeks and 5 days. Let's get to the Washington football team, Stefania, as it was interesting. Recently, Scott Turner, their offensive coordinator, sort of downplayed the severity of the shin issue that Antonio Gibson is currently dealing with. And yet, I feel like every game, he's left the game for some period of time due to that same shin issue.
It's really easy to downplay it when it's not your leg. You know? I mean, I think this guy has been working through something. And let's be honest, they have some challenges right now because they have two of their athletic training staff on administrative leave. And we don't know exactly how the players are being managed in terms of their injuries. They had initially said they were going to be bringing in some interns to help out, but I think it's fair to at least ask the question about how well everybody's getting the treatment that they need right now. So that being said, Antonio Gibson dealing with a shin injury, which he related to be a stress fracture, and then goes out and suffers a calf injury. Now, is it a compensatory thing tied to this because he's trying to work through and play through some pain? We heard that he wasn't having much in the way of pain, but they were limiting his reps so as not to overload it. One of the real issues when you have a stress fracture is if you continue to overload it, you can actually make that injury worse. So, you know, I feel for Antonio Gibson because, like I said, he's been trying to play through this. This doesn't look good.
So if he has to miss time, Matthew, there are two running backs, I think, in the conversation. One of them is Jared Patterson, undrafted player out of Buffalo, who was so fun to watch in college, made the team this year. I know they've been impressed by him.
Yeah, they like him a lot. That's one of the reasons why Peyton Barber was a training camp casualty.
Right. However, I think the more pertinent player might be J.D. McKissic.
Sure.
And here's the reason why. And you've ranted enough about him.
Okay.
So I don't want to have to go down that rabbit hole one more time. But they're so bad defensively. I mean, so truly atrocious and pathetic and underachieving and disgrace. I mean, ridiculous. The amount of resources they put into that defense to be this bad is astounding.
Astounding.
They are not going to have a bunch of games where they either have positive or neutral game script where you can run the football consistently.
Correct.
Patterson can catch the football, but J.D. McKissic can freaking really catch it, right? He's an excellent pass catcher.
They like him.
He had 8 catches for 110 yards yesterday.
Yep.
If Antonio Gibson misses next week, which running back do you prefer until he returns?
J.D. McKissic, just because I agree with you. I mean, like, listen, they play the Packers next week. What do you think Aaron Rodgers is going to do to that defense? Like,
probably tell him he owns them.
And by the way, I'll sign over ownership papers right now. Aaron, you don't even have to score. I mean, like, we're terrible. We're awful. Like, honestly, on Sean Taylor's retirement day, and don't get me started about the planning that went into that. But whatever, on Sean Taylor's retirement day, they gave up over 500 yards. By the way, they actually played okay in the first half.
Yeah.
Like, they got
some
turnovers.
They were leading at halftime.
They were actually leading at halftime, and then they just got destroyed in the second half. At the end of the day, when the dust all settles, they've given up over 500 yards. When you think about all the first-round picks they spent on defense, when you think about all the money they spent in the secondary, it is, again, it is an abomination. It is an embarrassment. It is, and I said this on Fantasy Football Now, I will say it again, based on preseason expectations, based on talent of the players on that team, based on the amount of money and draft pick investment in that team, it is the worst defense, the most underperforming defense in the NFL, and there's not a close second. It is absolutely brutal. They should be embarrassed by themselves, honestly, because some of it's effort. Honestly, some of it's effort. Some of it's scheme. Some of it's just people not playing well, but some of it's effort. And it's very, very, very upsetting. So anyway, the whole thing was a disaster yesterday. And, you know, listen, I'm not going to start a whole nother rant too, but Jackson Mahomes, really, dude, that kid, I'm done. Yeah, I'm done with that kid.
I think,
it up. If you don't know what I'm talking about with that kid, like that, one of the most disgraceful things I've ever seen.
So
really awful.
J.D. McKissic, just to get it back to football here for a second. Like, I think if I agree, I would be picking him up over Jared Patterson. And I don't know that Patterson makes my waiver wire call this week, Matthew, because, like, again, this game script's going to have to really be in his favor. We don't know how long Antonio Gibson's going to be out, if he even is out at all.
Correct.
J.D. McKissic, a useful part of that Washington backfield.
Listen, if you're in a super deep league, worth grabbing.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, certainly worth grabbing. Yeah. But I would agree with you that if we found out right now, hey, Antonio Gibson's going to miss Sunday, I would have McKissic ranked higher than Jared Patterson.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Like, they don't want to use him between the tackles that much, but they don't hate him. They've done that somewhat.
Yeah.
And again, yesterday, they will be in negative game script against the Packers and Aaron Rodgers.
We're going to talk about Christian McCaffrey and the disappointing news we received on Saturday in just a minute. But first, do you own or rent your home?
Sure
you do. And I bet it can be hard work, but you know it's easy bundling policies with Geico, which you can do so proudly. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
This episode is brought to you by Captain Morgan. NFL fans know that as the season gets underway, you got to have the right players for all 60 minutes in order to bring that spark. And sometimes you got to sub someone in order to switch things up. Same thing goes to that drink in your hand on game day. So if you're looking to sub in something more refreshing, reach for your delicious, crisp Captain Morgan Original Spiced Rum and Ginger. Team effort there. Sub in the captain. Captain Morgan, the official spiced rum of the NFL. Visit CaptainMorgan.com to find the captain near you. Drink responsibly. Captain Morgan Rum Company, New York, New York.
Would just like to say, just want to put this out there, that the official spiced rum of Matthew Berry is still available. Ooh. That is a position that is available. Yeah, and by the way, not for a lot.
I'm a captain guy. So
right, exactly.
My spiced rum.
Send a couple of bottles. I'll be...
Saturday, we learned that Christian McCaffrey is headed towards IR. He's been placed there, Stefania. What does that mean for his return? Because at this point, I have no clue.
I don't think any of us do. You know, the problem with Christian McCaffrey's injury situation, I think it is the devil's in the details. Mm. And we're not really privy to that. But if you just look at the pattern, it's unusual to me because he was injured on Thursday night and he was back in practice a week later testing it out. So you think, okay, it must have not been determined to be anything with any sort of severity, a really low grade injury to be back testing in practice. And then that was three straight days. Granted, it was limited work, but he was out there participating and then ultimately did not play the subsequent week, which was week five. Comes back to practice the following Wednesday, pushes it more. And then there's a lot of, hey, maybe we should have put him on IR sooner. Mm. I'm hearing some things about, hey, maybe McCaffrey's trying to push it too hard. But honestly, knowing what we know about hamstring injuries usually being a couple of weeks, even in the mild cases, I'm a little surprised that they had him doing as much activity as they allowed. Because now it's back to IR. Now you're extending it to at least 5 weeks. And this is a tough injury because if you have little setbacks, although they're not really calling it a setback, you know, maybe it was just a judgment in terms of what he could tolerate versus what he could not. It can extend the injury recovery window. And the problem that's superimposed on top of that is not only the position that he plays, but the volume of work McCaffrey has to be able to do when he gets on the field. We've talked about the number of snaps. I said yesterday that among running backs, he has played the second most snaps despite missing 15 games in the last 3 years, fourth if you count it this year. So when he's out there, you expect him to do a ton of work, and that sets you up for problems if you're not 100% healthy. So it's not a great answer for people who are looking for when is he going to come back, but I think this back and forth with him being, you know, maybe he's going to practice this week and then he's not, and now he's on IR. It makes it really hard for us to project anything going forward.
I think, go ahead, Matthew.
Oh, I was just going to say, as to Stefania's point, I think that that's one of the reasons why, right? I mean, that again, like he's a guy that wants to push and get back on the. So I think while it is disappointing, obviously, for Christian McCaffrey himself, for the Panthers and their fans, and for us in the world of fantasy, I think him being placed on IR is actually good on this level. At least we know. Mm. At least he's not going to be able to push to come back, get it healthy. To Stefania's point, this is a guy that, you know, always wants to do everything, and maybe that caused it. Maybe, you know, trying to do a little bit too much too soon. Who knows? But the fact that, okay, so now we know. We at least know that for the next 3 weeks, we have to figure out what to do without Christian McCaffrey, and obviously that lands us towards Chuba Hubbard.
It does. Who yesterday, and before we get to Chuba, I just want to say is that because of the new IR rule that was implemented last year that is a three-week absence, mm-hmm. frequently we assume that like when a team places a player on IR, he'll be back after 3 weeks. Like, we don't know on Christian McCaffrey.
Correct.
Right now. Like, so it's
at least
3 weeks.
If I can, Field, to your point, I think this looks a lot more to me like baseball in that teams are starting to use the IR as a roster management tool. And I don't fault them for that. I think it's actually a great opportunity to some of these players. I think their injuries are getting the ample opportunity to recover because they have that 3 week designation. Mm-hmm. But just people should understand that some of this is business decision making in addition to injury management.
Well, he could play in week 9. He also might not. So we'll address that a lot closer to it. For now, is the Chuba Hubbard show, as Matthew mentioned. Yesterday, he had 65 total yards, one catch, a touchdown, 13.5 fantasy points. Matthew, you said this yesterday on Fantasy Football Now, and it's true. It's also one of those things that, like, it almost feels like we shouldn't have to say it, but he's not Christian McCaffrey, right? I think the part that fans are probably most, not disappointed by, but are probably sort of wondering is that last year, Mike Davis filling in for Christian McCaffrey gave you a much more, I think, a closer facsimile to CMC than we have seen in the first three games of Chuba Hubbard, right? Like, much more involved in the passing game.
Correct.
Probably even just as good, if not a little bit better, as a runner. My guess is probably that some of that's attributed to, well, Mike Davis is a good player too, right? Passing game has certainly helped. New quarterback, though, like, slightly different offensive approach. I don't know what to make of it, but Hubbard is, like,
Also, by the way, Mike Davis had some clunkers in there. Mike Davis had some really good games, but he also had a couple of clunkers in there. Remember, Chuba Hubbard's also a rookie, right? Mike Davis is a guy that...
I always feel like with running backs, it's a little bit less.
It is a little bit less, but Mike Davis, at that time last year, was a pro. He'd been in Chicago. He'd been in San Francisco. He'd be a guy that had, you know, played in multiple systems. He'd been around, right? He was a pro's pro kind of thing. And so, but to your point, yes, it's a different offensive system. It is a different quarterback and a slightly different offensive system with some different pieces in there, obviously, including Terrace Marshall, who's playing more snaps. You know, they're trying to involve the tight ends more. But what I would say about Chuba Hubbard is that yesterday, 65 yards, a catch, 13.5 fantasy points. He got the touchdown. That's about right. That's what Chuba Hubbard is. Like, there'll be some games where he's more involved in the passing game, but he doesn't get into the end zone, whatever. But, like, 13.5 fantasy points, like, that's about right. Like, he ain't Christian McCaffrey, but is he a usable wide running back too in fantasy? He is, especially when you look at their upcoming schedule. Giants, Falcons, Patriots are the next three. Patriots you don't love, but certainly no concern. We just saw what Daryl Henderson did to the Giants, right? No concerns with him going against the Giants or the Falcons. So I do think, especially with buys coming up here, Chuba Hubbard will be a viable fantasy starter as long as McCaffrey's out. Again, a lower end RB2, like, he ain't McCaffrey, but
might be more of a flex play for me, only because maybe Kyle can pull this. I don't know how many catches he has with the first three games of no CMC, but it does not feel like that many. And that was the cheat code of Mike Davis. He had all those catches last year too.
But when you start getting down there, I mean, like, it gets ugly. When you're sitting there going, like, him or Myles Gaskin, like, those, you know, like, when you start,
don't speak those words.
I know, but that's that anyway. I mean, like, when you start getting down there,
it's totally
fair. Like after about like 15 running backs, you start going like, you know, you start making the
someone
you
gift
know,
that
the,
for me,
the
please.
Curdled milk face.
Let's move forward here to another fill-in running back in Seattle. That's Alex Collins. We'll discuss more in a second. But Stefania, an update on both Chris Carson and, well, Alex Collins late in the game last night.
Right. So Chris Carson now placed on injured reserve. So we know that he's going to be out for at least three games, as you mentioned. We don't know the exact number of games, but we know it's at least three. And he was not there again.
Including the one last night.
Right. Correct. So last night would count as the first one post the IR designation. Alex Collins looked great when he was running. Certainly had a high volume of work, but took a lot of hits, and late in the game, Pete Carroll said after the game he took a hit to his glute and his hip and that it was very painful, and that's why he did not finish the game. It didn't seem like Pete Carroll was overly concerned about the significance of that injury, but of course they had a player who had a more serious injury at the time on the field. That was the focus. It's good to report, by the way, Daryl Taylor, thank you, Field, who went to the hospital and had all the appropriate neurological tests, was cleared of anything significant in that regard, had all movement in his extremities, etc. So that may be why they weren't offering much attention to the other injury reports. But Alex Collins, obviously something to monitor.
And one of the things, a couple of things I would comment there real quickly. Number one is, I know, Stefania, you said that Pete Carroll didn't seem like it felt like that big of a deal. It's worth noting Pete Carroll is one of the most positive coaches.
Right.
NFL.
And normally I would say that, but I think it was just given. That's why I mentioned the context of the other situation, because that was so much of their focus last night.
Yes, of course. They play New Orleans next week, which isn't a great matchup to begin with. But they do play Jacksonville after that, and then they have a bye. So it would be a combination of DJ Dallas and Travis Homer filling in if Alex Collins were to miss this game. More on this, but Alex Collins not 100% rostered in ESPN League's field.
He is not, and I got to look into this because right now the percentage is at like 46%.
But
we take a rolling average. So right. It may be that number is actually significantly higher. For now, he's on the waiver wire column. I may not be until midnight tonight that we get the accurate percentage.
Right now, so, update says 50.5.
For Alex Collins?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, he's
50. If it says 50, then it's 50. I just take the 0.5. You round down 0.5s, right,
in
Matthew?
In this case, I'll keep him on the list just because it feels...
It's one of those worth checking enough to see if he's available in your league.
And so we don't know what's going to happen with his status with the hip injury, but he looked good enough last night. He's a good, talented runner. I mean, he is a player that once had, I think he was like 729 rushing yards for the Ravens one year. Like he led them in rushing one season. He's a capable running back. And by the way, you can find running backs everywhere. More on fill in running backs. Quick note to clean up my own, bad guess earlier. Chuba Hubbard has 8 catches in 3 games filling in for CMC. 5 of them came last week. So 2-5-1 is the game total. Perhaps my perception of how much he's been involved was a little bit off. But we turn to the Giants now. Devontae Booker filled in for Saquon Barkley, and I thought you got sort of about what you were looking for, Matthew. He gave you 69 total yards, 4 catches, 10.9 fantasy points, right? So you were just saying,
Elijah Penny, vulture is a touchdown. Like, that should have been Booker's.
It was junk time, right?
Junk time. Well, exactly. But, that's when you're starting a Giants player, junk time's part of the equation.
But yesterday was an abomination for the Giants,
bad,
who should be more competitive for at least 1 week. Have you seen their schedule coming up?
Yeah.
So they played the Rams yesterday.
Yeah.
Carolina this week. At Kansas City, Monday Night Football. Home to the Raiders, a bye, and then at Tampa Bay on Monday Night Football. I mean, good Lord. Wow.
That's a lot of junk time coming up. A lot of junk time coming up. It's, I would love to make fun of the Giants here, but I'm a fan of the Washington football team. So, I'm not going to cast any stones in my glass house.
That's smart by you. Anyways, but I thought Booker kind of gave you as you'd expect from him. Yeah. He got the 4 catches. That is good. Penny, as Matthew mentioned, gets the touchdown, but it's hard to fault usage when your team is down like 28 points in the fourth quarter. Like, weird things are going to happen.
But just the fact is you get usage there. And the question is just about Barkley. Like, we don't really still have a timeline yet on Barkley, do we, Stefania?
He didn't practice at all this week. They haven't really said anything. Obviously, they didn't place him on IR, but no timeline.
Keep an eye on whether or not he does return to practice on Wednesday. Seems perhaps unlikely to me. The Bears got some good news because their third-string running back looks like a keeper, Matthew. Khalil Herbert, 6th-round pick out for the Bears this past year. And he looked good. He played 51 out of 56 available running back snaps, 55 running back snaps, I should say. And he had 112 yards. He got a touchdown. He had 2 catches as well, 19.2 fantasy points. You really wanted dominant usage in terms of running back snaps and opportunities, and he did. That was good for him in a matchup that, I don't know, the Green Bay is a tough matchup, but I don't care. 19.2 fantasy points is pretty darn good.
And he looked the part, by the way. He looked the part, not really involved in the passing game all that much, although he did get 2 catches, which is more than he got the week before. Only concerns here is we expect Damian Williams back next week. He was out because he was on the COVID list, but we expect him to be back next week. And, by the way, coming up, the Buccaneers.
You don't love any
running back against the Buccaneers. So, I'm sorry, what, Stefania?
Damian Williams, he tested positive.
Right.
So, the timeline could be tight.
Okay.
Just saying.
Good.
Okay.
Well, I mean, not good, but like...
Right. Be aware that you might... no guarantee.
I got to check Herbert.
Not good that he has COVID. Hang on. I want to just clean this up. Not good. I want to be clear on that. When I said good, what I meant is that is good information from Stefania. Good to know that. Not good about Damian Williams. We are obviously rooting for his health and his return quickly.
Khalil Herbert is rostered in 65% of leagues.
Okay. So people got the jump there. Obviously, Damian Williams testing positive last week. Herbert was good. Matthew mentioned it, though. Maybe a fade this week because they play Tampa Bay. We'll talk about that later on in the week. Matthew, we don't nail them all. As a matter of fact, there are plenty of calls we screw up along the way. But
Derrick
Williams was one where you just feel like, we had this one sized up right. And the theory last week, the thesis was that Derrick Williams may not be as naturally talented as Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but he might be much more fantasy useful than Clyde Edwards-Helaire, as yesterday he played 56 snaps compared to just 22 for Jerick McKinnon. He had 89 yards. He had 3 catches, and he had 2 short rushing touchdowns. The thing that has evaded Clyde Edwards-Helaire goal line work was Darrell Williams again yesterday. It's possible that until CEH returns, you have a top 15?
12.
12?
I mean, 12-ish. Like, when you think about that offense?
Yeah.
Yeah, and by the way,
that offense when he actually gets goal line carries too.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the point. And by the way, go look at like the first touchdown was a thing of beauty. Like it wasn't just like, you know, just any random guy falling over. Like he made a nice cut. He hit the hole. He scored the touchdown. Darrell Williams is not only more valuable now than CEH has been, honestly, at almost any point of his career in the NFL. I think there's an argument to be made that if Darrell Williams can, I mean, CEH is going to be on the shelf now for a couple more weeks. The Chiefs are trying to win a Super Bowl. Like, Andy Reid's a veteran. Like, there's a chance that Darrell Williams takes this job. I don't think that CEH has done so much that there's like, well, there's no way he's given his job up when he comes back. Like, he'll obviously still get it used, but like, you know, whereas before it was probably like 70-30 CEH to Darrell Williams, I think there's a chance when they come back it's 50-50 or it's 60-40 Darrell Williams to CEH. Because again, he was everything you wanted out of a running back yesterday, both from a fantasy perspective, but also from the Chiefs' point of view.
So keep an eye on, I think what, if nothing else, Matthew, like what it kind of does, though, is like buys them some time, right?
Sure.
With CEH, like no need to rush him back, because obviously you have a more than sufficient fill-in for CEH in Darrell Williams.
The only thing to keep an eye on, Field, as you've noted, I believe we're now 8 days away from the NFL trade deadline, right?
Yeah, I screwed that up. We're 15 days away.
15 days away, okay.
November 2nd, right?
Yes, 15 days from today is the NFL's trade deadline.
There have been rumors attaching them to Marlon Mack and kicking the tires on some other running backs. So it'll just be interesting to see if they do make a move over the next 2 weeks. But certainly, Darrell Williams' performance yesterday certainly would give them some confidence moving forward.
We'll talk about some crowded backfields in just a second. But first, hey, football fans, we have an incredible app everyone who buys gas needs to know about. It's called Get Upside. Our listeners are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download the free Get Upside app in the App Store or Google Play right now. Use promo code FFF and get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up. That's up to 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using Get Upside. Just download the app for free and use code FFF to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 to $300 a month in cash back. There's no catch. The cash back gets added right to your account. You can cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or as an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Get Upside app and use the code FFF to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. That's code FFF. Thank you, Get Upside, new sponsor for the show.
25 cents per gallon.
Yeah, that's sweet.
I mean, like, you know, I put in like 15, 20 gallons when I fill up my car.
Yeah.
That adds up.
Yes, it does, Matthew Berry.
I'm going to download that myself.
You know, it's been a great start to the NFL season, and it's only getting better at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. DraftKings is putting new customers in the center of the action with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Get in on the action now. It's simple. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Feel the NFL action like never before with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. And the best part is that you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Listen, just download the DraftKings app now and use code FFF. This week, new customers can get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Enter code FFF to get a free shot at millions in total prizes with your first deposit. That's code FFF only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
All right, time now for some crowded backfields. And let's just laugh here for a second. The Ravens had a backfield of Latavius Murray, Devontae Freeman, and Le'Veon Bell. All of them scored a touchdown yesterday. They all scored a touchdown. Like, the 2015 Pro Bowl had a great day yesterday.
It was
like, this is ridiculous.
It was like, where have they been?
Barnwell
had a great tweet where he was just talking about, like, I think the Ravens should bring back some dusty old running back every single week. Yeah. It's not exactly what he said, but that was basically
the lines.
But he was just like, like, where's Dominic Rhodes? Like,
that's amazing.
Right. I quote tweeted and I said, like, Sharkandrick West, where are you at? Like, let's just, like, every week it should be a different obscure random running back from like 6 or 7 years ago.
That is
what's Jamal Charles doing these days? Like Jamal Charles could get out there.
Probably scoring a touchdown against the Raiders. He used to always do that.
Exactly.
Matthew, but honestly,
not that he's an obscure running back, but just he was one of my favorite players of all time. Oh, yeah. I would have loved to see. I wouldn't mind seeing Jamal Charles get one more run.
But Jamal Charles was like fantasy relevant.
Charles was amazing.
Are any of these Ravens running backs like? Can you trust any of them in fantasy?
No.
If you are going to play a Ravens running back, what you are hoping for is that Latavius Murray falls into the end zone again because he's done that 4 times in 6 games. But other than that, Daniel, we're just laughing here. There's really no value to any of these running backs. Let's talk about the Packers.
Where's LeSean McCoy? I mean, it feels like
he retired recently. Your boy.
Yeah.
I understand that, but like, didn't all these other guys retire?
Did you hear about McCoy's getting into film production now? Yeah. Did you hear that or no?
Is he really?
Yeah,
he's going to just spoil his own films now.
Correct. Yeah, yeah. Wow. He's going to go out there.
He's looking to cast someone as a secret agent, I believe.
Yeah, wow. It's fine. Wow. The spoiler, the McCoy.
A.J. Dillon for the Packers had 11 carries yesterday for 59 yards. So, I don't know. Like, on the one hand, his carry count has declined in each of the past 3 weeks. On the other hand, the number's still pretty incredible. 14, 13.
Field, hold on. I want to make sure that I'm looking at this right. Kyle, you can jump in. I think that his carry count has declined for Aaron Jones each of the past 3 weeks.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. How about that?
Because I was just going to say, Aaron Jones got 13 carries yesterday. A.J. Dillon got 11. Now, Aaron Jones got like 4 catches in the passing attack. So ultimately, it wound up being, I think, 17 touches for Jones. This is off the top of my head. 17 touches for Jones and 11 carries for Dillon. I don't think Dillon got a catch.
He did not yesterday. Right. He had 11 carries, 59 yards, no catches.
11 carries for Dillon, 13 for Jones. Jones got into the end zone on a great pass, a catch, and then a run, and then he flipped into the end zone. It was
awesome.
Amazing play. But, as somebody who rosters a lot of Aaron Jones, we might have to start it up again. Free Aaron Jones. Hashtag free Aaron Jones. Like, what are we doing, people?
I mean, look at that, though. 6 touchdowns in 6 games, 385 rushing yards.
Just imagine what he could do if he got a lot of work.
But 6 touchdowns in 6 games, imagine taking that 1 4-touchdown game away and all of a sudden, and I'm not saying that you can do that, right? But like that changes the narrative quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, a little bit. Yeah, I mean, he's still, again, in a bad year for running backs right now. Like, Aaron Jones feels like the least of your worries. You got him as like a low-end first-round pick or a top-end second-round pick. Like, he's returned investment so far.
But it's, you know, cause for concern. It's a little bit of an eyebrow raise.
Your eyebrows are slightly raised. Fair enough. Let's go to Arizona. And they are just crushing.
It's that kind of subtle acting, by the way, that got me the role in Avengers Endgame. Highest grossing movie of all time worldwide.
I think that got surpassed recently, didn't it?
Avatar, Avatar, like, re-released, like, for the 15th time and, like, snuck
When Endgame releases for the 15th time, you're going to say that it counts.
They haven't done it. They're not trying to game the box office.
Well, sure. Carabelle was in Avatar, though, right?
Yes, so, like, Carabelle was. Like, I think Carabelle, Tristan, Ken Dobby, all three of them. It was the trilogy.
A Ken Dobby reference today. Yeah. Shout out to my boy Ken Dobby. I love Ken.
Me too.
Stefania, let's go to Arizona, where the good times are rolling right now. But their backfield has a bit of an injury concern. What can you tell us about Chase Edmonds?
Well, you know, he was out there yesterday, and he had some stats. He was 4 for 46 on the ground. He caught a few passes, not much yardage, but the fact he was catching passes and running. And then there was a lot of chatter because it seemed like he disappeared. I can't really speak to that. They didn't say that he was any worse. You know, he did come in with a shoulder injury into that game, and there was a lot of James Conner utilization. But, you know, their coaching staff was different yesterday. It could very well be that Chase Edmonds was being managed to a degree because they didn't want to overutilize him with that shoulder injury still being fresh. So this is one of those where you want to watch during the week and see how he ended up coming out of that game.
Really impressive by the Cardinals yesterday. Just incredibly impressive to see them go over there, go to Cleveland, win a game, facing a lot of adversity, and just dominate the Cleveland Browns. Maybe teams with head coaches that are absent for the game are better. 2 games. The Browns last year, they dominate the Steelers in the playoffs. The Cardinals yesterday, they dominate the Browns in a big game in the regular season. They are now 6-0, are the Arizona Cardinals. Let's talk about the Dolphins for a little bit because they actually have a handful of topics to discuss. What do you want to say?
I was just going to say about the, you know, in terms of Chase Edmonds, like, I don't know, like, he's had 2 bad games. He was good for a while, but he's had 2 bad games here. Can't get The concern here is that they have so many weapons in Arizona. Any goal line work's going to James Conner here. Now, they play Houston next week, and it's going to be a – next week, of course, is Bye-mageddon. And between the banged-up running backs and all the running backs that are going to be on a bye, Eckler's out next week, Dalvin Cook's out next week. I mean, like, it's a – Aaron Jones is going to be out next week. Like, it's ugly next week, but I don't know. Like, are you thrilled with Chase Edmonds if you have him on your team?
No, I mean, listen, he's no Kenyon Drake in Arizona, but, that's, you know.
Kenyon Drake. Wow. Yeah, I mean, look,
I mean,
anyway.
Come on just, now.
I'm
with you. Trust me. This was my hesitation on Chase Edmonds as a workhorse back, is that, like, touchdown equity is going to be hard to come by. The pass catching is going to be good, but you need it to be really good to make him a top 20 or so back. Let's talk
We talked about all preseason about how James Conner was the much better value. Yeah. Anyway.
Let's talk about the Dolphins for a little bit. The Dolphins lost yesterday, and we'll see whether things change in the next day or so down there with some decisions they have to make. But it's bad. It's ugly right now in real life. In fantasy, things are actually okay in some regards. If you're looking for a Week 7 fantasy quarterback fill-in, Tua Tagovailoa might fit the bill here, Matthew, as here's the reason why. The Dolphins are so bad along the offensive line. They have to throw the ball a ton because they cannot run the ball at all. They cannot run the ball a bit. Tua yesterday had 329 passing yards, 2 touchdowns, 21.4 fantasy points. It was his third best game of his career. That's good. I mean, enough to see that. Are you on board with the idea of him being a Week 7 streaming option?
Yeah, I mean, listen, they play the Falcons, right? They play the Falcons this week. He's definitely a streaming option, especially because, by the way, and Stefan, you can probably talk to this better than I can, but their defense has been bad. Their defense has been really banged up, obviously. Mm-hmm. Xavier Howard and Byron Jones both missed the game Saturday in London. So they play the Falcons this upcoming week. The Dolphins do. Yeah. And so the Falcons off the bye. Anyway, so it's a defense. The one of the narratives about Miami coming into the season was we thought they'd have a pretty good defense. They did last year. We thought they'd have a pretty good defense and that they wouldn't get into shootouts. But because they can't stop anyone and because they can't run the ball, it is. They're playing at a faster pace. They're throwing a lot more. They're having to throw more. So I agree with you. I do think Tua, who, by the way, looked healthy, 22 rushing yards yesterday as well, so get you a couple points with his legs.
Sure.
I do think there are other guys that I prefer a little bit more, but I do think he is on the list of viable streamers for next week.
How about Jaylen Waddle yesterday? This is the amazing part of Jaylen Waddle.
Yeah.
Remember the stat that I used all the time during the pre-draft process?
His average touchdown was something like 49 yards or something like that.
44 plus yards for the average receiving touchdown for Jaylen Waddle.
Right.
Remember earlier this year when he had the game, like 12 catches for 56 yards or something?
Yeah, exactly.
Yesterday he had 10 catches for 70 yards and 2 touchdowns. So the good news is that, like, he's catching passes. It's just so surprising to see where they're being thrown. I think this all ties back to the same thing, though. Mm. You can't protect your quarterback.
Yeah.
You can't run the ball, so you can't really set up play action. You can't take shots down the field right now because you just don't have enough time to do so. I think what we've realized, though, Matthew, is that, like, you know, he's a little bit up and down. He's super talented, obviously. Jaylen Waddle was like, if you need some upside, he could present it for you.
Yeah, but listen, no Devontae Parker, no Will Fuller yesterday. So, again, we think this is a team that's going to have to throw a lot.
Yeah.
You like the matchup this week with Atlanta. Jaylen Waddle's getting a very nice target share, right? He's now had over 16 fantasy points in the two games in which he's played with a fully healthy Tua Tagovailoa. So this is, you know, college quarterback, right, that they played together. There's a connection there. I'm more in on Jaylen Waddle than it sounds like you are, which is weird because I know you love the talent of the player.
Well, I do. If you look at his game log, it's just like a little bit more Jekyll and Hyde to the point that, like, I'm saying, like, there's upside in a given week. There's also the risk because you could, and also, like, yards per catch is so low. Like, if he has 5 catches in a game without a touchdown, it might be like 5 catches for 38 yards.
I get that. I guess my counter to that would be is that if the elements that were there yesterday repeat next week, no Devontae Parker, Tua's under center. Mm-hmm. Good matchup on the defensive side. I don't think Atlanta's any great shakes, right? Yeah. They played Jacksonville yesterday. I think he is in line to have another very good fantasy day.
Yeah. No, that's true. Yeah, yeah.
And so that's sort of my argument there.
He's averaging 8.1 yards per catch.
Yeah.
Holy cow. He's like one of the fastest players in the NFL, is averaging 8.1 yards per catch. That is absurd.
Yeah. Well, listen, I mean, there's issues
Everything
in
is
Miami.
In Miami right
there's
now.
A
yeah.
lot of issues in Miami. I just have one question for you, and it's a very specific, direct question.
Wow. This is going to be very kind, I'm sure.
How are you feeling at this moment specifically about Jaylen Waddle? And let me couch it this way.
Okay.
In the preseason, Field, you talked about the fact that I got a couple of guys that are my guys. Yeah. Field's favorites is what we ended up calling the column, and you wrote it up. Yeah. And Jaylen Waddle was one of those guys.
Yeah.
So huge performance yesterday from one of your guys.
Yeah.
Certainly returned value on where you drafted him ADP-wise.
Sure, yeah,
so
yeah.
So makes you look good. On the other hand, our very own Stefania Bell used one of your guys against you in the War Room League and beat you.
Oh, like, no, she did not. She dusted me.
Dusted you.
What was it? What was it? 152 to 130 was the final in our War Room League?
Yeah,
something like that?
I wouldn't say that was a brutal beating. I Jaylen Waddle did have a good showing, and day-to-day needed to be resurrected, let's be honest.
You've had some injury concerns, Chris Carson being one of them, obviously, but you got huge games from Dak Prescott as well. But just using Jaylen Waddle, Fields Jaylen Waddle against you, I just was curious whether you were more disappointed at the loss or just proud because, you know, your preseason call looking pretty good.
I have set out a goal in life not let myself ride the emotional wave of fantasy football in my own matchups. We are so fortunate to do what we do. We hope to provide entertainment for all of you. You're going to win some. The same things that I am constantly refraining to friends who ask, I can't believe I started. Hey, it's just fantasy. It's all good. Like, it's a game of predictions and hedging and projections and uncertainty and multiple variables. So when the things go against me that I talk about all the time with others, I have to just say, good job, Stefania. I'm happy your team got a W. Stefania had Jaylen Waddle. She got a good team with Dak and Zeke. Like we
TJ
we
Hawkinson. How could my team be losing so badly? I know. You've had
some bad luck. You have a good team, Stefania, but you've definitely had some bad luck. What I want to know is, Field, I am so impressed with that. I cannot believe how you can just sort of let the and just sort of have sort of this zen-like quality about fantasy football and just sort of let it, like, you know, hey, if we win, we win. We don't, we don't. We make the best educated analysis that we can and let the chips fall where they may. Like, I'm so impressed by that that you won't ride the emotional roller coaster. I have failed miserably at that. I mean, take a good look at me. Just to be clear, I'm 28 years old. Take a look at me. I'm 28 years old, but this is what fantasy football's done to me.
It's incredible.
Yeah. There are a lot of things in life that matter a lot to us, Matthew, and certainly our job does, and providing the best insight entertainment we can does as well, but there's so much that cannot be controlled. I mean, think about, like, Steph Curry is probably the greatest shooter in the history of the NBA.
Yes.
He also misses 6 of every 10 three-pointers he makes. Like, you know, you do your best, and, like there's certain things you can control, certain things you can't, and I can't control that, right?
Field. No, you can't either. I here's the thing. I understand everything you just said logically. Mm-hmm. Understand it to my core, obviously.
Yeah.
Can't get there.
Right.
I still, to this day, get super upset when a prediction goes wrong, when I lose a game. And I don't know if it's because it's a longer conversation that we don't have time for here. I think it is partially because of how I am wired, and I think it's also partially because I am ESPN's senior fantasy analyst. Like, that's literally my job title. It's what it says on my business card. It's what it says
senior.
I mean, probably, right? I mean, like,
there's a squared after senior.
It's sitting in a box gathering dust on my desk. But like, whatever. If you look my profile up on the internal Disney employee directory that we have here, that's what it says for my title. I am ESPN's senior fantasy analyst. That is my official job title with the Walt Disney Company. And because of the power of those four letters, I think there's an expectation of me that I place on that other people place on me, but I also place on myself. And so it's a longer conversation, but I'm just saying, like, I, I merely just wanted to say I know that to be true of you, that that's just not you talking the talk. Like, you walk the walk in terms of being able to separate the emotion of fantasy football, and I am not wired that way, and I'm insanely jealous that you are.
So Field,
we can work on this together.
I want to jump in on this really quickly.
You want to see me get emotional about that?
No, I just to end the show with this zen-like status that you have. Can you tell me what I'm supposed to do with Myles Gaskin, or what happened with you and Myles Gaskin this week?
What you're supposed to do with Myles Gaskin is this. I'll tell you a second what you're supposed to do. All right, so you're supposed to listen to the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast or watch us live, and then whatever I say you should do with Myles Gaskin, do the exact opposite. Because 2 weeks ago I said drop him, you don't even need to bother with Myles Gaskin.
Didn't he have a good game after
he
that?
He had 10 catches for 99 yards and 2 touchdowns. This past week I was like, hey, the Dolphins are bereft of playmakers, they need to get Myles Gaskin the ball more, they should, right? And then what do they do on Sunday morning? They did not. He had 3.4 fantasy points, Daniel.
Yikes.
So in the week when in which I was confident, he was miserable. I don't know to tell you, Daniel. My big takeaway from Miami is that while I am not a firm believer in like devoting major resources to running backs, no team needs a back right now more than Miami. They may be 1-5, but they should trade for Marlon Mack right now.
Yeah.
Myles Gaskin, Daniel, honestly, like trying to be as serious as possible, I really do believe that week 5, when he had 10 catches, was very much the outlier based off everything else we've seen. He has had no more than 5 carries in 3 straight games. He's not getting a ton of work in the backfield. And yes, they were down for portions of yesterday's game, but it's not like the passing game usage got incredible. And then Savon Ahmed's playing a bunch. Myles Gaskin's, Malcolm Brown's playing a bunch. Like, they're a disaster.
I'll be more succinct about this. Or more direct, I should say, because I'm never succinct. They don't know what they're doing in Miami. The entire franchise at the moment is a mess, and it really feels like their offense on many days is just sort of like they're making it up as they go along. And so I agree with Field. As much as I like Myles Gaskin, I don't know how you can trust him until we see sustained usage, not even fantasy production, but let's see sustained usage. Last thing before we wrap it up real quickly, did you see this report? Is that what you're looking at?
I know what you're referring to. I was thinking maybe we hit it more tomorrow because about Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, just for whatever it's worth, NFL Network is reporting that they expect him to miss several weeks. So unconfirmed, we haven't confirmed it here at ESPN, but just worth noting, that report just came in from NFL Network that he's expected to miss several weeks with a calf injury and likely headed to injured reserve again. That's according to not our sources, but we'll see how that plays out.
So more to come on Kareem Hunt tomorrow and so much more. Monday Night Football recap, waiver wire news, injury news, and hopefully some insight and entertainment.
And no Stefania tomorrow through Thursday. We won't see her again until Friday.
Okay, Stefania, we'll see you on Friday.
She is taking her boon and going to doggle with it. That is what she is doing.
My dad is turning 90.
Yay. Listen,
happy birthday, Papa Bell.
Real talk, Papa Bell has been a longtime supporter and fan of the 06-0-0. Mm-hmm. We all love your father, Stefania.
Yep.
Honestly, more than you, if we're being candid. And so,
at least more than Matthew.
No, and by the way, he is a veteran as well. He has served our country. Thank you, Papa Bell. Happy birthday. You know we all love you. We all wish we could come and celebrate with you, but know that we are there in spirit and we are sending our very best to you to celebrate. So happy birthday from all of us here at the 06-0-1.
Confirmed by Shefty, Kareem Hunt out for at least 3 weeks. We'll talk to you guys on Tuesday. Until then,
peace out.
She's got a smile that'll melt your heart. She's always there to lend a helping hand. Her fantasy knowledge is just the start. Her skills are highly in demand. She's our Bay Area lady out there hustling for us with advice that we really trust. Always there to help. She's not a coach, she's your favorite gal. She's Stefania Bell.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.